Brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. It is so good to see you all. Thank you all so much for braving the cold and the snow and all of that. Thank you, choir, for showing up too. We appreciate you all helping lead worship this morning. We also want to just say to those who are worshiping online, we welcome you. I'm sure many of our normal folks who are with us in the sanctuary on Sundays are joining us online this morning, and we are so thankful that you're joining us. Today's a wonderful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a day of joy. I'm going to geek out on you just a little bit, Pastor Geekery. Today is this particular Sunday in Advent is called Gaudete Sunday, and it's a Sunday that's Latin that means rejoice. And so this is a day when you probably have always wondered, why do we light a rose candle on the third Sunday of Advent every year? And all of them are purple, right? Or no, they're not. One is not. And the rose candle is to remind us to take a moment in the midst of all of our inward preparation for the Advent of our Lord and to be celebratory and have joy in our hearts. So today is a day of joy. We're going to have a baptism of a sweet little girl. That's bringing a lot of joy to my heart. And it's a day where we also sing our praises to our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Just a couple of really quick things. I want to remind you, Festival of Christmas is this Wednesday, the 17th at 6:30 p.m. And you don't want to miss that. It is going to be wonderful. Also, I wanted to just remind you, too, if you haven't already, to return your blessing backpack bags that you may have picked up by this Thursday, the 18th, by 10 a.m. in the morning. I want to invite you now to stand and greet your neighbor and share the peace of Christ with each other. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, today we come as a church family in the midst of your presence, O Jesus, to experience your joy deep in our hearts. And Lord, we come to say firmly that whatever might be happening in the world, whatever might be on our minds, Lord, there is a spiritual discipline to practicing joy in our life when we remember who you are and whose we are. And so, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit mightily upon us and upon little Nina this morning. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Magnificat. Our souls magnify the Lord.
Our spirits rejoice in God, our Savior.
The Mighty One has done great things for us.
Holy is God's name.
Let us worship God.
For God is our Maker and our Redeemer. From generation to generation, God is mercy.
As we continue to worship, let us unite with other Christians around the world in reciting what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Tell the story, joyfully. On this third Sunday of Advent, we focus on the rose-colored candle, symbolizing joy as we draw closer to Christ's birth with joyful anticipation. We light again our candles of hope and peace that continue to shine within us.
Our hearts are filled with hope and peace as we await the coming of Christ's child.
Today we light the third candle, the candle of joy. This candle signifies the joy that the shepherds experienced when they heard these words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger.
We invite our children to come forward for a message with Pastor Parker.
That's awesome. Well, hey, friends. Did any of you guys get to play in the snow this week?
No.
We've got yeses and nos. That's crazy. Well, this week, as Pastor John reminded us, and as we just saw, is our third week of Advent, which is our week that we celebrate joy. What does joy mean? Yeah. Happiness. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Elise, do you have an answer? When you feel very, very happy, that's a good answer, too. Yeah. Yeah, joy's like when you like people. That's true, too. So we celebrate joy, and when I was talking this week with Miss Hannah, she reminded me of something that joy can teach us, and I want to teach it to you guys, too. Joy has three letters, and it reminds us of Jesus, others, and then yourself. Because when Jesus came to bring so much joy, that's a joy that brings us together. It's not something that splits us all apart and we all get our own stuff, but it invites us to share joy with others and be closer together and share in wonderful friendships and family relationships and all of those things. So can you say that with me? We love Jesus and then others and then yourself. J-O-Y. That's right. So let's say a prayer together and go knowing that the Lord gives us so much joy in this Advent season. Lord, we thank you for your Son and the wonderful gift that is and the wonderful joy that that brings to our lives. We pray for your continued peace and joy in all of these wonderful children as they celebrate in this Advent season. In your name we pray. Amen.
In the midst of all this joy, we often carry things that are heavy on our hearts, things we need to release to Jesus. And Christ always, always stands ready to forgive our sins when we ask. Let us pray together. Holy God, you promise to do great things for us, yet we do not trust you. You extend mercy to us, yet we do not trust you. You lift up the humble, you fill the hungry with good things, and yet we still do not trust you. Forgive us and help us to trust in the promises you have given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. God has indeed done great things for us and always stands ready to forgive our sins whenever we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are loved and forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
With you. Let us pray. Lord, this morning we join in the prayers of your mother Mary, who, upon hearing of the good news of Elizabeth's pregnancy, burst into praise of your holy name, your mighty deeds, and your faithfulness to your people from generation to generation. A prayer of such joy and just abundant rejoicing at your faithfulness. And yet, Lord, I confess that her prayer can seem harsh, can seem far from my hopes, far from my desires. Her hopes that the mighty will be cast down and the proud will be scattered do not always echo the hopes of my heart, where I often want myself to be sustained, to have my own safety. But Lord, I pray that you will soften my heart, that you'll soften our hearts, and open our minds to receive her words. Through your Spirit, I pray that you will align our hopes with hers, so that we might, Lord, see your coming as she did, as a means of setting the world right where it has been wrong. Lord, then we can experience and be filled with the same hope and joy and peace that she proclaims at the coming and bringing of your justice. May we deeply in our hearts long for your good reign, a reign of peace evermore.
And as you saw Mary, that young woman in poverty from a small town and a small piece of a large empire, in her distress, Lord, you saw her. And now, in that same spirit, we turn to see the distressed among us. You, Lord, are the God who binds wounds, heals the sick, and brings comfort. And Lord, we pray that you will lead us as your church alongside you to do the same as you are continuing to be faithful in our world and our communities. And in a spirit of unity with churches around the world who answer your call to heal the sick, to pray for release of the captives, and to show that your reign is abundant and here, we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings.
Sure.
Almighty God, we give thanks for the joy that dwells in our hearts this morning. And Lord, as you inhabit us and in this space, Lord, we turn our eyes to you, for your hope, peace, and joy dwells deeply within us. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bless these tithes and offerings, and Lord, this water, for the gift of life that you have given to the world. We thank you. Amen. And you may be seated. And it's my joy to come on and invite John and Monica and Gemma and Janice, if you want to come on up here forward. And then Reverend Joan, be around us too, and Pastor Parker, and also Bishop Gwen. I want to invite you as well. Welcome. And for the congregation, I want to invite you to turn to page 39 in your hymnal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so for Nina's family, I want to ask you all, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, say, I do. And do you accept the freedom and the power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? If you do, say, I do. And do you confess Jesus as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all, to people of all ages, nations, and races? I do. You say, I do. And will you nurture Nina in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself and to profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life? And if we will, say, I will. And congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Nina before you now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that they will be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. And so, brothers and sisters, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the hand of the Father. and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. There, your children you brought through the Jordan to the land in which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy every day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to all nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and Nina, who will receive it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout all of her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, with you and in the Spirit, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Okay. Let's see if I can hold her. She's asleep, so we might be able to. Oh, we might. Oh, what a precious baby. And I want to invite, let's see how we can do this. I'll get you all arranged. Why don't you come right through here, Joan and Parker? And I'll put the three preachers. Now I want people to be able to see. Let's put you all right here. All right. There we go. I'll get it. It's like being a photographer. All righty. And then I want to invite you all to come as well and join us. And Janice as well. Say, what are you all doing? And I know you, I'm going to invite Janice and Bishop Gwen, Joan, and Parker, if you want to lay hands on Nina as well while she's baptized. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Nina, Giselle, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nina, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being baptized by water and the Spirit, you may be a disciple of Jesus Christ all of the days of your life. Amen. Okay, now Nina, we're gonna go have a walk together, okay? Yeah.
Thank you.
Nina. You're being so good. You're just chilling out. Not crying one bit. And that was cold water, too. Oh, do I have to give her back? Here you go. Oh, my goodness. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much. I also want to make sure I give this to you all as well. I've got all of these things that accompany baptisms. I have your rose for you all, for little Nina, and here is her certificate of baptism. And then this is a gift from Hugs, which is a group of folks here at church that make handcrafts and crocheted and knitted things, and that's for Nina too. Brothers and sisters, I invite you to turn in your Bibles or in the bulletin, and you can find our scripture lesson this morning from Luke chapter 2. These are the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is on those who fear God from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is strong and has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich empty and away. God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of Mary. The promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. Amen. You know, children are a wonderful blessing. And I think John and Monica and Janice, you all have already experienced, I know this, with Gemma and with Nina to come soon. But they, little kids, they always ask really good questions, don't they? And it's always questions that are almost sometimes impossible to answer. They ask why a lot, and in great succession. Why? Well, because of this. Well, why? Well, I had one of those experiences this week picking up Elise from school. And it was very timely, I thought, for this week, as a matter of fact. I picked her up. She's in the back seat in her car seat or a booster. And she, out of the clear blue, she asked me, "Dad, who was Adam's mom? You know, Adam and Eve, who was Adam's mom?" It's like, oh my goodness. I said, "Well, Elise, Adam didn't have a mom." And I was watching her in the rearview mirror, and she scowled at me. And she said, "That's not right." And then she asked, "Well, who was Adam's dad?" And I said, "Well, that's more complicated. He kind of didn't have one of those either, but God made him." And she exclaimed, "What?" I said, "Yeah, he made him." And Elise said, "Well, that's not possible. You have to have a mom and a dad in order to have to make a person." And I said, "Well, in this case, it didn't work that way." And then I began to explain to her that God, that Adam really, his name means he was kind of a dusty man, or he was made out of dirt, or the dust of the ground. And Elise was like, no, that's not how things work. And I said, but this is how it worked in this case. And I said, he took this dirt and made it in a man and Adam, and then breathed his breath into the dirt, and then Adam became alive. And Elise once again said, Dad, why are you lying to me? Because I know that's not possible. It's impossible. And then Julie and I have started calling Elise our attorney in the family, because she loves to argue, and she'll make a great attorney. She really, really will. She started to lay out her case for the impossibility that Adam could be made out of the dirt of the ground, and that God's breath would have brought him to life. You have to have a mommy and a daddy. And I thought about that this week, and it's been wonderful, because it really did shatter her framework. And she's not yet convinced, I don't think, about this whole Adam and Eve thing. But it shattered her framework about the way that God works in the world and in her life. She had set in her mind, this is how things happen. And you just don't go out of the norm. That's just the way it is. And God did something different, and Elise was not very sure of it. But I love it, because that's how God works. He challenges and he defies the rigid frameworks of this world that we as human beings often form and fashion and create in our own image. God also challenged, I think, Israel's framework for what a Messiah should look like, and how a Messiah should be born, and what kind of king he should be, and what kind of salvific message and action that they would have. But you know, part of the way that God works is he just disrupts all of those frameworks. And where he disrupts those frameworks, he brings this explosion of life. And it's wonderful. Things that are not supposed to happen, things that are impossible, God makes happen and explodes it with this beautiful life. God has a long history of doing this, not only with Adam and Eve, but I also want to remind you, Abraham and Sarah. And of course, Sarah laughed at God too, and said, no, that's just not possible. I've been barren my whole life. Abraham, I think sometimes he just wanted to stay out of it, although he wasn't really good at that. And sure enough, Sarah, she became pregnant. Quite a surprise. One of my favorite stories for ministry was I was in a Bible study on a Tuesday morning Bible study in Columbia. And we were studying Abraham and Sarah, and there was this wonderful lady there. I think I may have shared this story with you all again, but it's such a good story. She is in her 90s, and I looked over at her, and I said, what would you say to God if he said you were going to become pregnant again? And she said, that's not going to happen, John. And I said, you better be careful when you tell God no to some things. Sometimes things happen. But it's on in other stories as well. Do you remember Hannah? And Hannah was childless during the days when Eli was the priest of the temple. And she prayed and prayed for a child. And Eli came over and said, Hannah, are you drunk? Really, he did. And she said, no, I'm praying to God. I'm praying for a child. And Samuel was born and she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Elizabeth and John, this is very much in this part of Luke here. Elizabeth was barren as well in her mature ages, and she did not have a child, and yet the impossible happened there. Life sprung out of the impossible. Mary, of course, this gets back to, I think, a little bit to what Elise was saying, and that Mary was a virgin. You can't have a child if you're a virgin, and yet the impossible happened there as well. Jesus was born. And yet, life explodes in all kinds of other ways in Jesus' ministry as well. Do you remember there in Bethany, there is this man named Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, and he died, and he was long dead, long, long dead. They waited many, many days. Jesus comes onto the scene, and he calls Lazarus out of that empty, dead, barren grave. And he walked out, covered in cloth, confused a bit, but life burst forth out of the impossible. And then, of course, the most important one is that garden tomb and how empty it laid because Jesus burst forth from it in life. I like to think of this in this way. It's the life of heaven that breaks into the dead end of human history. Life that breaks into the dead end of human history. Mary's hymn of praise, the Magnificat, it is wonderful. It gives praise. Her heart of joy is very much laid out in this hymn of praise to God. It really kind of echoes, I think, Hannah's prayer of praise and song of praise to God when Samuel was born, and even Miriam way back in the Old Testament when she gave thanks that through water they were saved from the Egyptians. The impossible happened. These wonderful songs of praise from these women in the Bible, well, I like to think of them this way. What they're saying is, look what God is doing. Look what God is doing. And oh, let my heart have fullness of joy and praise because of what God is doing. And today is a day where we can do that as well, because today we have witnessed one of the mysteries of our faith, because we witnessed the life of Christ, the blessing of Christ, bless a little girl with the fullness of life. That is an act of God. It's an act of God upon a little girl. And you join around her. And this is life upon life upon life upon life that Nina will experience. I like to think that in years hence, Nina will take up the voice of Mary, and she will praise God as well for all of the unexpected things that happen in her life. But I also want to invite you to take up the voice of Mary this morning as well. And I want to invite you to just join me in prayer for a moment as we give thanks to God for the unexpected moments in our own lives, where God's life-giving power has burst upon the scene for us. I like doing this every once in a while. My mentor for many, many, many years, he said, you know, John, the gospel does not need to be relevant, made relevant through preaching. It's already relevant in and of itself. And I want us to kind of step into that just a little bit and take up the words of Mary as we pray together. Jesus, we come into this holy sanctuary, this holy abode of your Spirit, a place where we, week after week, experience your life poured into us, the power of heaven forming us. And we think about our own lives. We think about our ancestors in the faith, like Miriam and Hannah and Elizabeth, Mary, Lazarus. And we think about the lives that they lived and how unsure so many things were for them. And yet in each of these cases, the impossible happened way outside of the framework of what we know to be true as human beings. And yet, Jesus, we pause for a moment in quiet to think about the times in our life where you have broken the framework of our own mind, our own expectations, and brought us life in very unexpected ways. And so, Jesus, as we have named these things before you, and as we make a spiritual practice this week of continuing to name those events of life in our life, we take up the joyful song of Mary and say to you, our soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Our spirit rejoices in God, our Savior, who has looked upon each and every one of us in his love and given us hope, peace, and joy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you, brothers and sisters, to continue to take up the voice of Mary by joining and singing together, Joy to the World. Let's sing our joys to God. Brothers and sisters, as you go from this place, may the peace and the joy and the hope of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fill you with his Spirit deeply within you, that you might experience a bubbling up of joy in your own life this week as you ponder Jesus in your own life, as you ponder the miracles of life that you have experienced too. Let that be something that lifts you up so that others might see you, the joy in your face, so that that will be your witness, your sermon in the world today and in this week. This I pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.